Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is September the 19th in the year called 2016. Monday afternoon. Hope that you made it through the weekend where lots of things seem to go wrong for a lot of people for many different reasons. So I hope that you came through the weekend unscathed. But some people, especially those who were the victims of this attack in New York City, I think it was in Lower Manhattan, lots of information that's pretty much dominating the news. And that will be also the lead news story that we'll discuss today, or the main topic that we'll discuss today after I go over some other news. But for those who have not heard, and I have been posting on social media about it when I first started seeing the reports, and some people were unbelieving and didn't believe this occurred, and they were questioning, and they were supposed to question. We're always supposed to be suspicious, especially when we're dealing with an apparatus that is designed to misinform the masses. So it's no question is crazy. You should always ask questions, and we shouldn't ridicule those who ask questions, but we should examine the evidence. And there's going to be some conspiracy theories that's going to come from people like Alex Jones and even myself. I'm like, man, they were awful quick to identify the person who allegedly did this. They were very quick to identify that person and found them within 24 hours. And so when they find people that quick, I don't know, sometimes, you know, you just have to question everything. And it is some question to this man's background that is alleged to have committed this bombing. I don't know if it was at an apartment building or a residential building. The guy's name is Ahmad Kari Rahimi, I believe is how you say his name, Khan Rahimi. So he is the alleged person to have committed this act. I don't think there were any casualties. I don't think anyone has died from the injuries. Sounds like, from the reports, flesh wounds and what have you. Looks like he will survive after being shot by slave catchers, and he also shot two slave catchers, and they will survive as well. One of the things that I noticed right away when they pointed out his quote-unquote ancestry, which will be incorrect because Afghanistan, if you are Afghani, that means that you are part of the nation. That's a nationality. But one of the news reports I said was talking about his, I saw or were putting in his headline that he was of Afghani ancestry. And no, he was an Afghani American. Some of his ancestors lived in Afghanistan, but all of the people that live in Afghanistan, they have their different ethnicities, they have their different religions. Just everybody is not the same everywhere you go. Everybody's not, you know. But I did note that that was the same. He had that in common with the alleged shooter in the Pulse nightclub, I believe was the name of the nightclub in Florida. They got shot up, and it was a whole lot of casualties. People got killed. We reported on that, discussed it, hashed it out on this program, Tando Radio Show, as well. But they have that in common. So now, of course, journalists are supposed to be going to work and digging into people's backgrounds, and they're saying that he had traveled back and forth to Afghanistan, which wouldn't raise any red flags, except for the fact that the United States have been bombing that country and engaging in war in that country for I don't know how long, a decade now, I'm not sure. 16, maybe 15 years. And the Pulse nightclub shooter, Omar Mateen, cited the bombing of his country. I just saw a report. I posted it to btrcommunity.com. I just saw a report where this man's family, Rahimi, filed a lawsuit for discrimination against Muslims. So religious discrimination. So I haven't had an opportunity to even read that report yet, but we'll get to all of this later on in Black Talk Radio News today. So lots of interesting angles that we could look at this. And what's kind of troubling, another story related to this, is CEO Obama, the president of the USA Inc., he responded to the attacks with a George Bush style, "They hate us for our freedom" speech. I saw a headline that where he is quoted as saying they're trying to disrupt our way of life. And, you know, I of course, I'm a cynical person, because I report on human rights violations occurring in the United States borders every day, indeed worldwide. And so I'm like thinking, you know what, disrupting their slave catching, disrupting their institutions of racism, and what is he disrupting? Whose life? Who? Them rich white folks on Wall Street trading in slavery stock, and so whose life is you talking about? Whose life are they trying to disrupt? And it just reminded me of George Bush's "They hate us for our freedom" speech. That's like some really crazy, you know, reasoning there, illogical reasoning there. They hate you for your freedom. So what you're saying is they're so repressed, they belong to a religion or live in a country that's governed to where it just violates people's free expression, free will, if you will. And they hate, so that's why they coming over here to attack the United States, because we got so much freedom and they jealous of all that freedom. So that makes sense, right? Come over here and attack it instead of defecting and applying for citizenship or something like that. So that makes no logical sense whatsoever. Don't nobody attack you for something good you got unless they trying to take it away. You know, and we know that there is no way possible that any country without help from the inside could mount a successful invasion of the United States with so many people with so much weaponry out there, not just, you know, the rifles and the assault rifles, which really is not what the military has. But believe me, there's people out there that got what the military got too, because soldiers steal and they sell that stuff. And then there's, you know, the weapons manufacturers themselves. So, but speaking of President Obama, CEO Obama is being sued by none other than a black slave catcher in the Dallas Police Department. And this black slave catcher is also suing Black Lives Matter. Now, there could be anybody, you know what I'm saying? So I guess they targeting that one registered organization using that, when BLM is a movement and it's a network of different organizations. I would even say that we're part of that, because black lives do matter to us. So anyway, they are being sued, George Soros, even Hillary Clinton. Like Hillary Clinton, you know, anyway. So he's claiming that they've started a race war and they are behind all the hatred out there for the slave catchers. It is, like I, you know, you can obviously tell from the sarcasm in my voice that this is a bunch of nonsense. And I believe I will take a look at the story. I think I was reading it last night. It cited a source as Freedom Watch, which I've heard that name before. And if it's who I think it is, it's a right wing, another one of them right wing racist suspect organizations. And a lot of times, you know, it'd be attorneys and what have you. So they file, they go trolling to file lawsuits. Y'all, we've heard these stereotypes about lawyers. Sometimes that's true. And they are ambulance chasers, but they do it in different ways. What was that white girl in Texas who lost her Supreme Court case, tried to say they was discriminating against her because she was white, because she didn't get admitted to the university, and saying that these black students got some kind of privilege over her, when it was a lot of what they call it, affirmative action for a lot of white poor people that also got in through the same program. So they be trolling and looking for a lawsuit. But this lawsuit, he's suing, asking for $1 billion in damages. And it's just ludicrous. It's just ludicrous. So I want to go over that briefly. An article also came out today, which is supposed to be telling us how to fix whiteness in corporate state media. Obviously, those are my words. You don't see words like that coming from any white-owned platforms, even if it's non-white writers, because the editors and what have you are the ones who can change stuff, take stuff out, and post the headlines as well. So it don't matter. But if it's a white platform, so those are things you should be always aware of. So, but this article I found interesting, and they're trying to fix whiteness in corporate media, saying it's not enough black people, non-white people in corporate media. That's your CNNs, your MSNBCs, and which had a purge. They had a black purge. MSP, what's her name? Melissa Harris Perry lost her show. A bunch of them. Obama's on his way out. As other people have said, they don't need no black faces on TV to blacksplain to white liberals or anybody else for the president. So we don't need you. Your contract's up, out the door. So they had a black purge. And so this is supposed to be a strategy on how to fix that. And I simply don't think it's a good strategy to put more black faces on white propaganda. It just seems so, but you can read the manual and see. But I mean, think about it though. That's basically, we know most of these people are teleprompter readers or reading notes, probably did a rehearsal, a dry run. Everything is basically preset before they go on air. Very rare that they're really on live unless something is happening, but it's still scripted. They're still looking at teleprompters, getting their cues and what have you. So if you just put more black faces on there, that's just going, hey, they still telling white lies, right? Because black people don't own it. They don't own it. And so I believe in strategy of the Black Talk Media Project, and that is to encourage, to assist black media ownership from the grassroots, not being given a section on the website of CBS or ABC as they have done, and not, you know, being the managing editor for a magazine, an online magazine, and it's owned by racist suspects that put certain topics off limit. And so anyway, that's just not the solution to whiteness in corporate state media. The solution is to create your own. Rebuild what was stolen from you in 1996. So, with the Telecommunications Act. So, those are some of the stories, but I do want to do a quick search of some of the other news of the day before I get to that. I also need to discuss some network news for today, just because this is the first live broadcast. We do apologize for the service outage to our clients who were not able to access their radio stations last night. I think it went down. Well, the server didn't go down, but we suffered an attack that prevented us from accessing the front page of the panel to how we get in and manage the radio streams and what have you. So the radio streams were up. They were briefly interrupted, but they restarted. But you can't log in. So that has been resolved, but we apologize for that outage. Try to protect against those things, but when you're a black outlet and you name yourself a black outlet, and it's pretty evident that you talk about black issues and you don't talk around the issues and you get to them, then you're going to suffer attacks from all different places. Could be state-sponsored attacks. It could be just some haters on the internet. It could be anybody. So glad that that was resolved, but that's what happened last night, immediately following Time for Awakening Radio, which had done a very, very good three-hour broadcast live last night. And, of course, we were carrying it on the station, so, you know, apologies for that. David Tando Radio Show will not be on live today. Dave is in flight, so he's in flight. Obviously, he can't do radio program. There was no time for arrangements for a substitute host. So Tando Radio, of course, normally comes on at 6:00 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. So there will be no live broadcast of Tando Radio Show today. Can I think of any other network news? Can't think of any other things except for to encourage you, if you haven't checked out the new social media platform, we discussed this towards the end of Time for Awakening Radio in depth on why especially black activists should join our community, btrcommunity.com, which is a social media platform that was just recently launched by the Black Talk Media Project. It's a subscription-based network. $24 a year is the best value. Breaks down to about 50 cents a week, something like that, less than a newspaper that you would get daily. So check out that social media community. But the activists, like we were talking about last night, if you're doing any kind of planning around the social political issues we're talking about, Facebook is not the place to do that. Again, who owns that platform? Who do they cooperate with? What is their main goal? Are they playing a role in maintaining the system of racism and white supremacy? And I could say on a global basis, Facebook does participate in that because of the religious and social political views of the owner, which is Mark Zuckerberg. So this is a place where activists can create secret groups, and it really be secret. You know, of course, like I said, the person who creates the platform can see everything, nothing secret. So when you create a secret group for your your planning, your revolutionary moves that you make in to counter the system of racism in this country, man, just think of whose network you own and who's looking over your shoulder and who has access to everything, including your address book on your phone. As we talked about, a story came out last week. So btrcommunity.com is a way for us to address a number of issues related to black people in different people activity areas. So check out btrcommunity.com. Some of the news of the day. And by the way, let me go ahead and give out the telephone numbers in case you have any news to share, any updates you want to give us from where you're trapped behind these enemy lines. Feel free to do that. If you have any comments on some of the news I'm going to share, I've already shared or getting ready to go over, just some quick headlines for you that I think you should be paying attention to, because they're like pieces to the intelligence puzzle. You got to piece together intelligence so that you can get a picture of what the enemy doing. So those telephone numbers, 641-715-3660, that's the conference line. The code for the conference line is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to come in on air. And then there is the studio line, of course. It's 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. Just want to go over some of the quick headlines. Again, what's dominating most of the news feeds is the New York, New Jersey bombings. The suspect was found sleeping outside a bar, survived a shootout with two cops. Again, we'll get into more details, but that's like trending. Let's see. The Syrian military has declared the end to the ceasefire that you may have heard about last week. They had announced a ceasefire, as y'all know, since 2011. Lots of people have been getting killed in Syria as different forces backed by Western powers like the United Kingdom, like the United States and others, mostly European or white countries, have been backing so-called rebels and even straight-up terrorism. There's the evidence to suggest that. There's emails from Hillary Clinton, but they have been trying to overthrow Bashar Assad, who is the president of Syria. The United States has had a foreign policy because, as many people have told you, these people playing years out. George Bush, during his administration as CEO of USA Inc., talked about a so-called axis of evil in his propaganda speeches, and Syria was one of those that they mentioned. So for a very long time, they've been trying to install puppets in Syria. And the reason why this is all tied to the 1967 is when there was the so-called Arab Israeli war of 1967. I forget the name that they gave to that war, but Israel seized some of the property. Let me just keep it simple. The Golan Heights is territory that belongs to Syria. And again, in Hillary Clinton's email, she has talked about taking out Syria for the benefit of Israel. And for those who are knowledgeable on Zionism and what Zionism is, and in the AIPAC lobby and these U.S. congressmen and people in these, including President Obama, CEO Obama's administration, have dual citizenship with Israel. That's how you could get such a big $1 billion package, if I can remember correctly, like $56 billion that Obama and Congress just gave to Israel. Like, wow. So anyway, there was supposed to have been a brokered ceasefire. The United States and Russia had set it up. And then over the weekend, we heard about two planes or aircraft, a fighter aircraft from the United States claiming that they were bombing, quote-unquote, ISIS, but they were bombing Syrian positions, Syrian military, and it's supposed to be a ceasefire. Killed a lot of people, man, and wounded a whole lot of people. And Russia had been saying, see, this is evidence that they supporting ISIS, because soon saying the United States is supporting ISIS. Because as soon as they got through bombing them, here come ISIS attacking the Syrian military. So that's a story that I think is important. Let's see. You got United Nations aid convoys hit by airstrikes in Syria. And that was the whole point of the broker ceasefire, was so that you could get humanitarian aid into these war-torn areas, what the United States military would call a war zone, and people get war zone pay in the military. That's like extra money in your check for being in forces of global racism. So let's go over to some of the news that I mentioned earlier, and we'll work in reverse order, and we'll share. I'll say my thoughts on this so-called terrorist attack, which I'm gonna start calling them violent protests, because when I see these things, what are they doing it for? What's the stated reason? Again, Omar Mateen said he did it because they bombing Afghanistan. People in the United States, activists and what have you, people who are so-called quote-unquote peace activists, have long been pointing out the high cost of the civilian casualties as a result of George Bush's lies and what have you. So that's what he cites. Now, we know as a result of that, especially stoked by the right and people like Donald Trump and others in right-wing media, but they then stoked what we call the Islamophobia. They stoked those kind of passions. It's nothing but racism, as we saw these armed white men and women, some women were with them, racist suspects armed outside of mosque. And in Dallas, they were met by black guns that was protecting when they tried to march on hold a demonstration on the Nation of Islam mosque. So there was an armed response to that, and the police quickly broke it up. But this has been going on for quite some time. And so that could be a possible motive of this Afghani-American. He ain't foreign. He ain't from nobody else, nowhere else. And that's probably why they trying to say, oh, it's no link to international terrorism or terror cell that's being run by Al-Qaeda or CIA, as I call them, or ISIS, or they're calling this a lone wolf attack, just like Omar Mateen. But I'll say my further analysis on this for later. But President Obama, CEO Obama, it's like he begging black voters to vote for Hillary Clinton, and he's putting it out there that he would take it personal if she were not selected to be the next CEO of USA Inc. Now, most of the people that are not falling in line with the programming, and when they are asked in these polls of who they gonna vote for, the black voters 35 and under are not voting for Hillary Clinton, not voting for Donald Trump. Some of them may not vote, others are going for third party candidates and what have you. And these are the very people, vote many of them adults with children of their own now, who were called super predators by Hillary Clinton. And I call that, some people call that being naive. I call that an expression of black self-respect, exercise and intellectualism, thinking about what you're doing instead of just being a robot programmed by somebody else and just falling in line, being a slave. So I've said this before, I find that very encouraging, but now he's trying to play a trick. It's all about that trickology, intellectual tricks, mental tricks, and what have you. So now he's trying to make it personal. Black folks, there's going to be a failure of my legacy. And don't y'all want to see the first black president go down with a good legacy? Ignore all the other stuff. But, you know, we must elect Hillary Clinton, the very woman that who wanted me dead prior to the 2008 or what was it, 2007 California primaries. Might have been 2008. I'm not sure when they hold the California primaries. She wanted them dead. It's on video. She was called out for it by a network anchor, Keith Olbermann, went on a 12-minute blitz of this woman. How dare you even say such a thing and put that out there in the universe with the hate that's being directed at him? So, I mean, again, he is not showing any kind of self-respect. I think he's also afraid of if a Republican gets in, that Republicans will not be like him when he came in and he looked the other way and said, we're going to look forward and not backwards at the crimes of the Bush administration. So maybe he's afraid because Trump is rather a wild card, that some Republicans who really want to take him down and put him in prison, that Trump might be willing to go along with a prosecution and not be like other past presidents who say, you know, we're not going to prosecute anyone, not going after a former CEO. One day I'm going to be a former CEO, and I'm sure I'm going to commit a lot of crimes against the world too, because that's what it takes to maintain this system, what they call, you know, American exceptionalism and empire and all of that. So I think he might be worried about being, you know, brought up on some crimes himself and indicted. So I don't understand how it's logical for a person in his position to have suffered racism at the hands of the Clintons to even suggest. That's like teaching our children not to have any self-respect whatsoever. None. So what can he say about his daughter twerking at a concert in, where were they, in Columbia, and say she ain't showing self-respect? And he's not showing self-respect. He may not be out there twerking, but he's not showing self-respect. What he is doing is reinforcing racism in the false religion of white supremacy. This is why, again, I say it takes black people to participate, non-white people in general, in order for the system to function. If we all just boycott it and would not go along with it for no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of recognition, pats on the back from racists, then it would crumble. So I have hope for the future with these 35 and under exercising free will and actually doing critical thinking and showing all this black self-respect. Have hope for my grandsons and granddaughter, who will be adults 20 years from now. So maybe they'll make it. Well, I'm sure they will. With Democratic leaders increasingly worried about a lack of passion for Hillary Clinton among young black voters, President Obama is rolling out a new and more personal campaign message. It's about me. It's in quotations. He said that. It's about me. This is from the New York Times. It was published today. The president told African Americans this weekend he will consider it a, quote, personal insult if they did not vote for Mrs. Clinton, implicitly putting his name on the line as his former Secretary of State struggles to replicate the coalition that delivered him victories in 2008 and 2012. In other words, he owes her politically. He cut a deal. She cut a deal with him because she would have backed McCain. In fact, she still works with John McCain. There's videos of her giving speeches to confuse young children with confused parents, going to the McCain Institute, which took $2 million from the Saudis. I bet you John McCain also did not want to see that 9/11 bill passed that President Obama vetoed, which would allow the victims of 9/11 to sue the Saudis in civil court and remove their immunity that they have. So he says, my name may not be on the ballot, but our progress is on the ballot. What progress have we made under Barack Obama's administration, his cabinet's administration? Because he ain't making all the decisions. They take his input, and he's persuaded, and he puts his name on it, whatever. So anyway, what progress have we made? A Republican health care law that is falling apart because it hinges on the participation of capitalist insurance companies, and it's crumbling. It's falling apart. He used to brag it was a Republican idea. Well, we see it's falling apart. Republicans own that. My name may not be on the ballot, but our progress is on the ballot, Mr. Obama said on Saturday night at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, a gala dinner in Washington where Ms. Clinton also spoke. Tolerance is on the ballot. Democracy is on the ballot. Justice is on the ballot. So, I just think that it's just ludicrous. And it shows a lack of self-respect. And for anybody who would, let me put it this way. This thought just came to my mind. I thought about it earlier. People will call these young people naive. And really, it's those who are doing the name calling, the voters over 35, that's all they are focusing on is how scary Donald Trump is when all white supremacists, people who is, you know, who practice the religion of white supremacy are dangerous. All of them. And to act like Hillary Clinton doesn't have a track record of supporting legislation and making decisions, including the decision to invade Libya and stand by and let all those black people get slaughtered, because Obama said it was the worst decision of his administration. Said he listened to his advisor. That's who we talking about, because the Pentagon argued against it. So, to ask people to ignore all of that criminality and just go along with the Democrats, because black folks have always gone along with the Democrats, and I should preface that by saying black voters, because the majority of black people and the majority of people, regardless of any classification, don't vote. And I'm not going to make this a debate about the pros and cons of voting and not voting or whatnot, but the fact is that very few black people vote. But those very few black people, for some reason, the Democrats always rely on them to stay in office, to put them over the top, so to speak. And we've got nothing in return. They get in power, and the Clinton administration is a perfect example of that. And they work hand in hand with the other races across the aisle in the Republican Party. And we know this is documented. So these young people 35 and under are not naive. Perhaps they consume more information and have better sources of information than some of their critics. And then, of course, those who are on corporate television that you see, well, again, we know those are paid actors, paid propagandists, many of them with financial ties to the politicians that they're talking about. And then they want to denigrate these young black voters and say that they're stupid and all this and that. They just don't know how things work. Oh, they know how things work. The whole protest vote is about we are not going along with the way things work. Now, Frederick Douglass summed it up, the great abolitionist, who summed it up best. Let me just pull. I don't want to butcher what he said. But I'm going to tell you what it is. Those who don't want to make waves in the political system and just want people to keep doing what they've always been doing, and that's what they're told by their quote-unquote leaders, these people who have these celebrity statuses, David would say. Listen to your pastor. That's why they go into the church. Listen to your sorority presidents. That's why she brought her out there to speak to a bunch of you. Let me see. Frederick Douglass on plowing. Frederick Douglass on plowing the ground. Because this is what is going on right now. This is what these young people are doing. They are talking about plowing up political ground. We just not going to go along with it. Cause scary wig guy over there is blowing racist dog whistles, cause we remember this woman in 2008 was him, and in fact he supported her against Obama. So, you know, man, people just want us to have selective memories. This is the quote from Frederick Douglass. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation are people who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. And what really stands out, because, you know, I come from a farming family, not that I'm a farmer myself. I can plant some stuff and grow some stuff in a garden, but I'm talking about a farmer. I'm not producing any crops or anything, but I have observed family members who have. So anyway, he's exactly right. You won't change in whatever institution you want to change, and we'll just say the Democratic Party, for example, but you don't want to plow up the ground. You allow this woman, the whole process was rigged, and these are not rumors. These aren't just stuff that conspiracy theorists are accused of saying. We have the documented emails. That is why Debbie Wasserman Schultz stepped down as the chairman, and now Donna Brazile, with her butter biscuit eating self, is the interim DNC chairman, because they were busted cheating the process, tipping the scales for Hillary Clinton. And people was pointing this out all throughout the process. So you're asking these young people to reward cheating? And I know past studies that I have read and reported on have said that most high-achieving college students and valedictorians of high school admit in surveys that they cheated their way to get there. They cheated their way to those grades. It's been a while since I've seen a study produced or a survey produced like that. But again, this is a good sign that these 35 and under now are saying, no, cheating's wrong. We can't endorse a cheater. We can't endorse a crooked process. So we're not going to go and do what you want us to do. We have morals. We have values. And that's just being an obedient slave. That's all it is. You're being an obedient because somebody told you to. And they trying to scare you. Oh, if Trump get elected or he's selected as the next CEO, we all of a sudden going to be besieged by hood-wearing Klansmen at the door. You know, just, man. Now, again, Trump is no joke. The man practices slavery, believes in practicing slavery. I would like to see his tax returns, see how many private prisons he invested in. Maybe that's why he wants to protect the private prison industry. But he's also, again, wants to not normalize relations with Cuba, which I would dare to say has a predominant African population. And the embargo is all about punishing these black people for not violently overthrowing the Cuban government. While simultaneously you are here in the United States punishing black people who nonviolently take a knee at a football game or protest in the streets and demonstrate in the streets. So nothing is going to change when you keep accepting the same old. So again, I am encouraged with these young people. I am very, very, very encouraged with my daughter's generation, and that they are just not going to accept this hypocrisy, even if their so-called quote unquote elders tell you to go along with it, try to pressure you, try to bully you. No, I'm doing what's best for our future. Let's see, how long is this speech? We could listen to it. It's about,
you know, for me, home is what happens.
Let me mute that. No, that's just too long. That's like 20 something, 23 something minutes, and I really don't want to play the whole thing. So I got enough information. Oh, speaking of Donna Brazile, this is in the New York Times article. And again, she was working at the Clinton Foundation. Articles are coming out now about investigations where less than 5% of the money that came in to the Clinton Foundation went to these programs that they want to brag about. And the rest, the 95%, went to people like Donna Brazile on the staff. Administrative staff, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars. So, as I mentioned earlier, she's the interim chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee since Debbie Wasserman Schultz was forced to resign after it was revealed through the emails that she cheated to help Hillary Clinton get the nomination. So, Donna Brazile said that speech went beyond the room, it went beyond the moment. That was the president essentially saying, don't leave it on the field. Now, what the hell is that supposed to mean? I don't know. Beyond the moment. So if he want to tie himself, well, he is forever tied. Part of his legacy is to the disastrous decisions that he went along with. Hillary Clinton, supposed to be her boss, but really she's the one in charge as Secretary of State, and engaging in all of this foreign policy that has been disastrous for non-white people all over the planet. A number of coups and the installation of right-wing governments, fascist governments, conservative governments hooked up with business. That's fascism. Capitalism is the goal, the exploitation of the people and all the other resources, and that was supported while she was there. So his legacy will forever be tainted, and he's just making it worse as he goes out in the most pathetic way, saying he gonna take it as a personal insult if we don't help him elect this white supremacist named Hillary Clinton with blood dripping off her fangs after she then took a bite out of black people globally. So that's that story. Next story that I will share with you when we come back is this ridiculous black slave catcher in the Dallas Police Department who's suing CEO Obama, Black Lives Matter, George Soros, and Hillary Clinton, and a bunch of other people claiming that they have started a race war, and that the things that they're saying is behind the hatred for these slave catchers out here. Again, not just nonsense. So we'll be back on the other side. Going to take a station identification break. I want to kick some Sincere Nkwari message music. It's what I call message music. He calls it his God Life beats. And then we'll come back. We'll jump into that story. If check the board for any phone calls. Again, if you have any commentary, any observation, any news you want to share, hit us up at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to comment on air. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on Black Talk Radio Network. You can show these racist suspects that black radio stations matter, that it is important that black people take ownership of the news media, especially the news media that is taking aim at them, by making a donation of $25 or more to the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit. And you will get a Black Radio Stations Matter t-shirts sent to you as a thank you gift. Again, that is a donation of $25 or more. We'll be back again on the other side. Going to kick some Sincere Nkwari God Life beats. And this one is titled "Oh Mama, I Hate to See You."
Cleanup hitter, and that's a gentleman who has been around progressive circles for many years. He's been an activist for more years than as many years as many of us have been alive. More years than some of us have been alive. The most remarkable thing to me that I know that this gentleman has done was he introduced to the television audience for the first time the Zapruder film regarding the Kennedy assassination on a Dick Cavett talk show, and we'll have to ask him when that was, many, many years ago. But anyway, the person I'm going to introduce is going to entertain us here for a few minutes. His name is Dick Gregory. Yeah. Dick Gregory, come on out.
Patrick, y'all looking for? Y'all look at me, come from the back. I came from the front. I listened to you this morning, sister, and thought about, had it not been for the civil rights movement that liberated all of us, you wouldn't have had this space. And when you think about how this system had messed up our mind, how many PhDs you got? I look at my mother. What a lady. Worked two jobs all year because she had six children so we could have Christmas. Christmas. You know how ignorant you got to be to work your butt off? Your children to go to college, because that wasn't even in our mentality for Santa Claus. And when that black woman work her butt off, she tell me a white man bought this dish, and y'all don't even know who we are. Think about that. You man, a Jew being dumb enough to say Hitler and the Nazis brought you these toys? And that's the big problem. We know all of it. That's why I didn't have to do too much to move over into this. I lived around nothing but black folk. I didn't see. I'm 81 years old. We didn't have TV then. Wasn't even invented. Radio. You know how dumb you got to be to listen to a tap dancer on the radio? So if I'm not around white folks, and the only white folks I see in the movie, I didn't know it was no dumb white folks till I went to white college. I didn't know it was no ugly white folks till I went to white college. I got to college and called my mother, Mom, I wish you was here. I saw an ugly white dude today. She said, son, have you started that drinking?
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. This next story comes to you from FoxNews.com. It was published yesterday. Under police and law enforcement, Dallas cop files lawsuit against Black Lives Matter and Obama. A Dallas police sergeant filed a lawsuit on Friday against Black Lives Matter and its supporters, alleging the group is inciting a race war. Sergeant Dimitri Penny, a 17-year veteran on the force, is seeking between $500 million and $1.5 billion in the complaint filed in federal court, the Dallas Morning News reported. The defendants in the class action suit, that's important. If it's granted class action status, I'll have to do some more research on this. I don't know if they just... Yes, it was filed. I don't know if it's been granted class action status. So, again, you always have to be careful because these racist suspects in Fox News has shown itself to be a disinformation operation. But we have to scan all sources. We just have to be careful and filter stuff and ask questions. They also name in the lawsuit the defendants of President Obama, Black Lives Matter, Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, Al Sharpton, Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, and the billionaire activist George Soros. Defendants, and this is a quotation from the filing, defendants incite people to violence and cause violence by telling those people that they are under attack. Defendants are encouraging disaffected blacks, black Muslims, Muslims, and others allied with them, including certain whites, to ignore, disrespect, and assault law enforcement officials and commit violence and lethal force. The lawsuit states, according to the paper, the lawsuit alleges the defendants have repeatedly incited their supporters and others to engage in threats of and attacks to cause serious bodily injury or death upon police officers and other law enforcement persons of all races and ethnicities. The lawsuit was filed hours before two Texas police officers were injured in a shooting while responding to a suicide call. Now, this is important right here. Penny, who is black, is being represented by Larry Clayman, founder of the organization Freedom Watch. Now, as I stated at the beginning of the broadcast, this is a right-wing racist suspect organization then found the proxy, and I'm wondering if they are the ones. No, that's the other one that's suing the United States for all this information on Hillary Clinton or the State Department. And they're getting some good intelligence, but they're still racist. The Judicial Watch is the name of them. I believe that's Judicial Watch. But they found another proxy in Texas, a quote-unquote Hawaiian, somebody of Hawaiian nationality. And the Hawaiians were holding elections to determine if they was going to lead the union. If you was going to have to remove one of them stars from your from Old Glory because you stole the country, you forced them people, you went in there, held their queen captive, forced them to sign over, sign documents, giving over their sovereignty. And this was the United States military detachment of the Marine Corps, of course, with participation from the U.S. Navy. And the Obama administration actually allowed this. And so, but I was like, man, how much of a, how much can you assist these racist suspects that you won't even let your people reestablish the kingdom of Hawaii, get their land back, take their country back, and you're going to front for it? That's the same way I think about this black slave catcher who's a veteran, 17 years on the force. Now, of course, we know that at this same police department, we got Police Chief Brown, who is cashing in on his recent celebrity and notoriety after those slave catchers got gunned down in Dallas, targeted by some U.S. A U.S. veteran, allegedly it was a U.S. veteran. And so he got all that, you know, media request, and he was all on the TV for days. And so he got some offers in the private sector. Who knows, he might go work for one of these mercenary companies like Z Services, or go work for Eric Print. Who knows, he might be a consultant, work at some consultant firm as a lobbyist to push this tough on crime legislation, and he'll be making a whole lot more than he's making as the Dallas police chief. So that's the same department. Yeah, he'll be able to you know, really stock up on them butter biscuits. So, but this is also the same police department where a racist suspect, for whatever reason, a white cop who also was a 30-year veteran, still on the force after 30 years at the police department, Dallas police department, who said that Mr. Brown is a phony, that we don't have all this unity on the police force that he claims that we have. He's fronting. He's telling you bad information. He's lying to you. And he said that he indicated that there was some internal dissent among the slave catchers' ranks because some of them felt like the Dallas Police Department's policies of stop and frisk, the arrest quotas, was putting them in danger and making them enemies of the community and making the community feel preyed upon. So again, when we have slave catchers like the ones in New York City, where it was like 8 or 9 of them who said, "We are the predators and you are the prey," and documented the policy. So I would like to ask Mr. Demetric Penny, which one, what side of the line was you standing on? Was you for the quotas? Was you carrying out the quotas? You were supervising the quotas as a sergeant in the slave patrols. So it's just, again, no self-respect whatsoever. No black self-respect. Just no respect. None. Now, who else was at this Dallas Police Department? Well, one of the slave catchers that got killed in Dallas was had white supremacist tattoos, did he not? And it was fleshed out, and yeah, the mainstream media ignored it. But the more, I would say, the alternative media, the bigger ones that, you know, the alternative media that gets millions of people, oh, they definitely published it and took pictures from his Facebook profile showing these white supremacist tattoos and what have you. And when this came out, I also issued a couple of reports, a couple of videos of my own showing the 2006 FBI report titled White Supremacist Infiltration of Law Enforcement. So, Mr. Sergeant Dimitri Penny, what do you know about this white supremacist that was within the Dallas Police Department? See, he broke cold, this white supremacist guy. He broke cold. He wasn't supposed to have them tattoos because, as the FBI report said, that they are encouraged to be what is called ghost skins. Don't get none of the tattoos that are associated with white supremacy and racism and these gangs and these terrorist organizations. Don't do that. You want to blend in. You just want to be an American. You want to present yourself as a hero. Why are you out here gunning down black people like Colin Kaepernick said? Getting away with murdering people. And we can't say that it ain't happening because it's the videos that are the proof, undeniable evidence. So this is a disgusting man. I hope his parents are not alive to see this lack of self-respect that he is showing, this betrayal of justice, because that's what it is. And then it's just so ludicrous because he's naming some of the people who helped keep that system in place. Barack Obama has not done anything to undermine the powers of the slave catchers and their brutality, and what happened to the Justice Department over, I would say, 10 years or more, has a rate of 95% of where they say that these slave catchers were justified in their brutality. He hasn't done anything. And Al Sharpton, he telling people, you know, to be nonviolent and what have you. When he say no justice, no peace, he don't mean, you know, a civil war or anything like that. No, he just saying we just gonna stand around and with bullhorns and make a lot of noise, and you're not gonna have no peace. So I don't call that declaring war. So, you know, this is, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. This is how a lot of black people get confused, because a lot of times we want to discuss, and those discussions are valid. We do have to point out the racist nature of the beast, but at the end of the day, we have people of all different classifications who are against the practice of justice, and they want to uphold that system of racism. I would like to hear this man speak so that I could judge his intelligence, to see how, you know, he thinks, or if he just a willing proxy for these white supremacists. What's the guy name? This racist suspect who started what is it called? Freedom Watch. Whose freedom you looking out for? See, that's just the absurdity of it. That's how they are deceptive with words. Like, they looking out for people's freedom. Really? Really? Freedom is the opposite of enforcement. What are you enforcing? Slavery, exactly. So, Freedom Watch. Larry Klayman is his name. Who is this Larry Klayman? Let's go ahead and look him up. We'll go to the Wikipedia entry on this guy. Let me see. Larry Elliott Klayman, born July 20th, 1951. Went to Duke University in 1974, Emory University Law School 1977. He's a quote-unquote attorney activist, and his political party is Republican. says that he is a conservative American lawyer and former U.S. Justice Department prosecutor who has been called a Clinton nemesis for his dozens of lawsuits against the Bill Clinton administration in the 1990s. The founder of Judicial Watch and the government. Oh, so he is connected to Judicial Watch. But Judicial Watch is under new management right now. I forget that guy's name. So he has also brought legal action against former Vice President Dick Cheney, President Barack Obama, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and the National Security Agency. Let's see, he was a Ronald Reagan appointee, has a BA in political science from Duke as well, ran for the Senate in Florida in 2004, but lost in the United States Republican Party primary, finishing seventh out of eight candidates. He is the author of two books and writes a weekly column for the conservative news website WorldNet Daily. He was born to Jewish parents and identifies himself as both a Jew and a Christian. So, let's see. I think we will have to find another source, but it's a lot of information here. So that's who is behind the lawsuit. And he found this black slave catcher down there in Dallas who is not confronting the white supremacist racist on the Dallas Police Department, is not speaking out against the quotas that they are required to perform as slave catchers to raise revenue for the slave state or the slave city of Dallas by ticketing people, locking them up, jailing them. So that's just pathetic, especially when you got a white cop who always should be, you know, looked at with suspicion, but I have no reason to believe that he's lying about what's going on behind the scenes with these quotas, regardless of any motivation. If he just want to make this black police chief look bad, I doubt if he's lying about the quota situation. He could be trying to make himself look good and what have you. But the fact remains that a lot of these black cops, we don't see them on picket lines. We don't see them filing lawsuits against the police department for making them put so many of their family members in prison and into prison slavery. And one of the things, as I just thought about the 13-year-old boy with a BB gun, black boy with a BB gun, just gunned down, think in Columbus, Ohio, very similar to the Tamir Rice case, that I read a report that black cops were involved. So it might have been black cops that shot him. So again, when it comes to the battle lines, they cannot be drawn along racial lines. Those people who have historically preyed upon non-white people have always relied on the assistance of non-white people. Didn't need all of them to participate, but just a key few that had key information and what have you. But they always have needed non-white people cooperation to victimize the masses of other non-white people. So very pathetic story of a coward down there in Dallas who wants people to just ignore all the evidence, wants to ignore the fact that you got a black sheriff up there in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, who has called for these racist suspects out there to murder Black Lives Matter, declared it was a war. So maybe Mr. Clayman got some ideas from listening to that proxy racist man up there in Wisconsin. Said, you know what? I'll find me a black slave catcher who's active duty on the slave catcher force We'll file this lawsuit for half a billion to $1 billion and saying that black people is the cause of this racial strife in this country, and that they are trying to start, or they have started, a race war, as if we just gonna ignore 400, 500 years of history of war being waged on black people, not just on the enslaved African, but the free black colonists as well, the Moors, if because that's all Moors means, and I don't want to go off into that. I made a video on what Moors are and what that name is and its roots and all of that, but Africans. So not just the enslaved African, but the free Africans who settled this continent, who helped colonize it for the good and the bad, who helped racist white slavers defeat the British and establish this nation. And what did they get in return? They didn't get an invitation to the Constitution, the first ever Constitutional Convention with the slavers like Jefferson and Washington and whoever else was there. I didn't see no black people was there. So, man, it seems complicated, but it's not complicated. You have to judge things based on justice versus injustice. Is what this man doing justice? What Mr. Klayman is doing through this proxy coward who's too cowardly to stand up to, even with the federal government issuing a report about white supremacist infiltration, these white terrorists in the police department, these black proxies in uniform ain't saying nothing. Ain't, you know, just one or two that I know of, just a few, very small few. But this is an example of why you don't want your children to grow up to be proxies of racism. Want to now direct your attention. Let me log back into my board. I got logged out, and I'll check the conference line, see if anybody has any thoughts on these stories of the day. And see, the board is clear, so we will move on to this story by fortune.com. Now I need to look up who owns this platform. So let me type in Fortune Magazine online. See if I can find out who owns Fortune Magazine. Fortune 500 Daily and Breaking News Fortune.com. Who owns Fortune? Fortune Magazine, okay. Because they have this section on their website where all they talk about is called Race Ahead, playing on words, where you have these black people who are writers being showcased on this section of Fortune. So who runs Fortune? Let's see. Fortune is a multinational business magazine published and owned by Time Incorporated and headquartered in New York City. The publication was founded by Henry Luce in 1929. The magazine competes with Forbes and Bloomberg Businessweek in the national business magazine category and distinguished itself with long in-depth feature articles. The magazine is best known for the Fortune 500, a ranking of companies by revenue that it has published annually since 1995. So you go read more on that. So that's where you can find the names of many of the corporations who are profiting from prison slavery today. And by the way, the prison strikes, national prison strikes in USA continue with no mainstream coverage whatsoever, unless it's coming from Russia Today. That's about it. None. Not even from these showcase black people that's giving access to platforms like the one we're talking about right now. So anyway, the title of the article is News Media is Overwhelmingly White. How to Fix It. Okay, how do you eliminate the whiteness in media. Again, this is kind of, I don't mean to be sound disrespectful or condescending or towards the writer, which I think is black. I'm not sure. Ellery McGirt, Ellen McGirt is the name. I don't, you know, I'm assuming this is a black person. Let me see if she shows her picture on Twitter. So, yeah, this is a black woman. She kind of looks like, what's her name? Miss O'Brien. I can't think of her first name right now. Ellen McGirt. I cover race, culture, and inclusion at Fortune Magazine. Coltrane, I fly fish, I wander board. So it's a black person that's writing this article that I'm in disagreement with the premise of. And she says, on Friday, an important discussion about inclusion happened during a keynote and panel at the annual conference of the Online News Association. It was a specific challenge to newsrooms across the country to address their dismal diversity stats. More on that below. But the discussion raised an interesting idea for other industries as well. What if inclusion was a marketable and measurable badge of honor? So, like, I can imagine coming up with a rating system, you know, like how you have the Better Business Union. What is it? The Better Business Bureau, which isn't run by a government, but it's like this business that made a business out of ranking other businesses and allowing customers, you know, to leave reviews and things of that nature. And so, or I'm thinking of also the Better Homes and Gardens Seal and these organizations that say, so is that what they're talking about? You know, we can possibly, you know, stamp these people with a stamp of approval. It just kind of smacks of tokenism to me. I'm just going to be real. It just, that's what it sounds like. We giving them the stamp of tokenism because they put more black people on their news channels, and we got more black people reading from a teleprompter, reading from notes, just following the corporate state line and not making any waves because I want to continue to draw a regular paycheck. So let me continue to read on, read more of this. The panel used specific media staffing statistics to paint a grim picture. I guess this will also include the people behind the cameras, the operating the sound, the mic booms, and being the editors, the ones writing the news. The panel used a specific media staffing statistic to paint a grim picture. Some 83% of print staffs, that would include magazines, newspapers, stuff like that. And 77% of digital staffs are white. That would be like, for example, Huffington Post. That would be, you name it. You name these outlets. You know, the Fox News, Fortune.com perhaps. Miller wrote in a piece accompanying the keynote, even more acutely, we lack racial, ethnic, and gender diversity in our sources, the experts and people featured in our stories. The solution on the table was a fascinating one. Could there be a Beadle test for newsrooms? The Beadle test is designed to help people determine if works of fiction, movies in particular, depict women behaving in fully realized ways. It asks three simple questions. One, are there at least two named women characters? Next, do they talk to each other? And finally, do they talk to each other about something besides a man? An astonishing number of popular movies don't pass. The test was named for cartoonist, playwright, and social critic Alison Bechdel, who credits her friend Liz Wallace with the ideal and is a fascinating person in her own right. Miller proposed something called a full story test for media organizations, defined by three less simple but important questions. Are our content priorities committing us to be more inclusive and to tell stories that aren't being told? What you mean, like the prison strikes, where Fortune 500 companies are profiting off of the labor of people held in modern day slavery, victims of human trafficking. At least 70% of the world's largest prison population right here in the United States do not belong there. So in these Fortune 500 companies, Fortune.com, since you come out, you're known for the list. Do you even point those things out? So anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but this is what I feel. This is what I feel. I'm not going to be studying the staff and all of that and then giving them a token seal of approval. Because that, just call it what it is. We could use the character from South Park. He'll be the little icon or whatever that we'll use for our stamp of approval, a tokenism with these news platforms and what have you. That is not the solution. That is not the solution. We shouldn't be going to them, asking them for permission to tell our stories when we have the ability to open up our own doggone mouths and to establish media companies, for-profit, non-profit. I mean, you got NPR, supposed to be non-profit. Public television, PBS, that's supposed to be non-profit, where people all over the country donate money. They may get grants from the federal government, but most of it is from people donating money. And then they apply for the FCC licenses. So you got the for-profit, you got the non-profit. Black people, how come we ain't capable of doing it ourselves? Especially with the advances in technology today, where you look at people on YouTube with setups in their home that it looked like they in a studio, elaborate set or what have you, very, very comparable to what you're seeing on cable television. Depending upon their budget, the more elaborate or quote unquote professional we can establish these own thing, our own ownership. That's what our own means. Our own means ownership. That is the only viable strategy for black people in this country. Not asking white supremacist platforms that have been putting out propaganda, anti-black propaganda, anti-whatever, anything that did not submit to white supremacy, they're pushing this propaganda for years, and we shouldn't be begging them to be more inclusive, and is also begging them for jobs and what have you when we can be job creators. So those are my thoughts on that. Going to take another station identification break and kick some message music. Again, if you have any thoughts, these are just my thoughts. I don't claim to know everything or have all the answers, but when I analyze what they are proposing, that is not the direction that I think would be prudent in solving the problem of the lack of black media. Just because you put black people on there don't mean that those people are telling our stories. Come on, man. We've got Don Lemon. We've got Steve Harvey in the morning. We got those people. We got, you know, our local newscast where there's at least one black anchor. Some of the local news media in the area I live in, they're pretty diverse, so I'll give them, tell the truth about them. I see a lot of participation from Latinos and black people along with white people. So the news that they're presenting is diverse. But in terms of the staffing, I cannot answer that question for you. Again, this is another avenue that the Black Talk Media Project can pursue by building media centers funded by BTR community.com subscriptions, is that we can prepare the young people and anybody who wants to come in and learn, and then they can start a for-profit company, media company. There's people already out there doing it. Shout out to Revolution Media in New York City, run by a black woman, Chow Boogie. So I'm going to take a station identification break, and then I'm going to talk about if this is true, if this was really some person who was protesting the treatment of Muslims in this country, and we cannot deny that they have not been mistreated, especially since 9/11, been targeted by the NYPD, especially in the New York City and New Jersey area. I am not saying all of this to justify any kind of attack on civilians, as I have consistently said that that is incorrect to attack civilians. That is what the United States does. That's what they do. They target civilians. They don't care. They don't care. How many innocent people have been killed in U.S. drone strikes in the past, since George Bush, including the Obama administration? How many innocent people have been blown up? How many wedding parties have been blown up? How many? But if that is what you're protesting, you are not, you know, you're acting just like the very people that you claim that you're that are doing something evil that you oppose. You attack civilians, and I've heard all the arguments trying to justify those sort of attacks that the American public won't change its mind or replace its leaders until they feel the pain that other people are feeling. The pain that other people are feeling. But we've had 50 plus 60 hundreds of years possibly of evidence that suggests that no matter how many quote unquote U.S. citizens get killed, the United States Incorporated does not change its policy. It is not moved to stop the things that is doing that is unjust throughout the world. It doesn't change, so it doesn't work to kill. And it actually can, it backfires, because now you portray the very caricature that they put in the news media, the propaganda, the demonization of a religion or a person that looks a certain way based on their race or phenotype or ethnicity and what have you. Play right into that. Now, if you are, I'm just keeping it real, if you are attacking military targets, represented of the people that are carrying this out, then you may have an argument there. You may be actually adhering more to the Geneva Conventions than the United States government does. So I cannot justify or get behind or co-sign on any attack on civilians. I don't care if it was a stadium full of Confederate flag waving racists that I'm surrounded by in this county. I still would not justify somebody going up in there into that stadium and slaughtering all those people. That's demonic. You know, I don't want to be like them. But at the same time, we cannot sit up here and ignore the death, murder, and mayhem that the United States government is involved in, that provokes the same sort of incorrect acts. So when we come back, we'll look deeper into that, give you some of the updates. Again, I heard that his family had once sued. I don't know if they won the lawsuit for religious discrimination, and it was well documented, the spying and the violations of the constitutional right. They just had Constitution Day 2016. When was that? On the 17th? No, the 15th or the 16th. Last Friday they celebrated it because it fell on a Saturday, violating their constitutional rights, spying on them, stepping up the slave patrols, the stopping and frisking and all, just violating their freedom and liberty, while at the same time the propaganda networks telling the masses that these slave catchers are protecting our liberties. Everything is just, man, illogical in this country. It's illogical. So definitely want to look at it, some of the latest news, what they're putting out. And it is up to you as an individual to sort through that to determine what's true and what's not true. And find other sources. That's the only way that you can actually do that. So we're going to kick some more message music when I come back. That'll be the last topic of the day. And that last news story we'll take a look at today. Again, black media does matter, especially when you are trying to combat the disinformation and the propaganda forces of the corporate / state media. Because if people don't have correct information, and I have to say that although everyone in this country are not always privy to the facts because they rely on corporate state media and the lying politicians to inform them. But I would have to say, I think black people get targeted with more disinformation than most. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News, part of the Black Talk Radio Network, trying to do our best to provide you new black media for this new millennium. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro. Not the case in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
The United States should welcome the self-determination of Africans. They certainly have denied self-determination to Africans inside the United States, so we're not surprised by anything that the United States would do.
if Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency, or maybe launch a gold in our currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today, who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret, because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000, called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested.
Something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
And our resolve is clear. The people of Libya must be protected.
Others say it's about
slicing
oil.
Cake.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines of USA Inc., a global terrorist, murdered all them people in Libya, the most developed nation in Libya. All for what? For greed, for money. Man, very insidious nation is the United States of America, Incorporated, of course. Very insidious. Look up the meaning of the word insidious. That's your word for today. Very insidious. And the news media plays a big role in making it happen. So, the story that I want to pull up, now they've changed the headline. Wow. No, that's something Ross posted in BTR community. I'm in BTRcommunity.com. Here's the story. It's from CNN, and it's talking about the discrimination. Bombing suspect's family accused city of discrimination. This is published on CNN, the Clinton News Network. So, again, always read all media with a filter. Bombing suspect Ahmad Khan Rahimi's family accused the city is about to play some. Let me pause that. Accused the city of Elizabeth, New Jersey, and its police department in 2011 of discrimination and harassment. The Rahimi family runs the first American fried chicken restaurant in Elizabeth. In 2011, the city council voted to close the restaurant at 10 p.m. because of all the people hanging out here around the clock, Elizabeth Mayor J. Christian Bullawaz said Monday. So, trying to impact them economically. I wonder who were, quote-unquote, all the people hanging out here around the clock. Black folks, possibly. Non-white people, for sure. I bet you. Owner Mohammed Rahimi and his two sons filed a lawsuit claiming that the city conspired to discriminate and illegally harass them by subjecting them to citations for allegedly violating a city ordinance on hours of operation. The case alleged the Rahimis were threatened and harassed by a police officer. It argues that officers and city representatives said the restaurant presented a danger to the community. It also accused a neighboring business owner of telling the Rahimis that Muslims make too much trouble in this country and don't belong here. That sound familiar, y'all? The defendants, including police officers and city officials, denied the allegations, obviously. Federal court filings show the case disposition as a statistical closing without a clear ruling. Now, what's that all about? See, can't go to court. You take these people to court and shenanigans. Whether we're talking about these secret grand juries that produce all these non-indictments, whether we're talking about the FBI and, or Department of Justice in 95% of the cases saying that all of these killings are justified. It just defies logic. The family is saying that please respect their family's privacy and let us have our peace after this tragic time. So again, still no excuse if indeed this person carried this out. Ahmaud Rahimi, no excuse to attack civilians. No excuse whatsoever. But white supremacy rule, when you have an institution that produces racist results, when racist oppression is ignored, and violent protests are non-violent protests are discouraged, when football players like Colin Kaepernick and others take a knee to protest police brutality and the injustice system, people act like they are criminals and they want to crucify them and they make racist threats towards them, when all of that produces these violent outcomes. So make up your mind to the critics of those who nonviolently protest in this country and abroad against its racist policies of slavery. And that's what it is. It's slavery. No CEO Obama, they not trying to change our way of life. Unless you saying that way of life is injustice. So again, I'm not speaking for this man. I haven't heard from him. But at the end of the day, I do not condone attacks on civilians. Under the rules of warfare, and war was declared, regardless of what Mr. Klayman, through his proxy racist officer, slave catcher, Mr. Penny, will have you believe, war on non-white life on this planet has been going on for 500, 600, 700 years, perhaps. At least 400. We know for sure, we can document the evidence. White terrorism has dominated the planet, and more so here than anywhere on the face of the earth. Now, y'all can ignore all of this stuff and chalk it up to me just being an angry black man, because they ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm looking at the evidence and I'm objectively rendering a verdict, and I find you guilty of hypocrisy. I find you guilty of murder. I find you guilty of genocide. I find you guilty of practicing slavery. And you just can't expect people to go along with the oppression of their free will. Indeed, not allowed to be free. History, human history, will show you that human beings will always rebel against somebody trying to control them. And for the most part, in this country, black people's struggle, the black struggle, has, for the most part, been nonviolent. Like the protests going on against the racist national anthem. And we're even seeing school children who refuse to honor a racist white slaver who the song was written to celebrate their triumph. And really, it wasn't a triumph. It was a truce. It was a negotiated truce because, again, of white supremacist aggression. But they were trying to take the lands from some other white supremacists that was colonizing land. So the British don't get off the hook there. But they had at least started moving towards abolishing slavery. And they offered these Africans who were being brutalized, murdered, raped every day, freedom from your liberty and freedom that you was enjoying. Offer them freedom, and they was kicking y'all butts. So that was a negotiated truce. and withdrawal. And thankfully, the British kept their word, and thousands of black people got their freedom that day. But this song celebrated the murder of those who did not make it, but their sacrifice was well worth it. So, I mean, it's all hypocrisy when you think about it. When you really, really think about what you're asking non-white people to do, that you only ask them to do these things at these games, it's because billionaires were getting paid to promote patriotism. And like Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota, said, patriotism is earned. You can't buy it. You can't force it, because guess who used to force patriotism? Nazis. So that's what you being. You being a Nazi American, trying to bully people, threatening people, then using your racial slurs for exercising what the propaganda says all these people in the military sacrificed for. And then the bottom line is, well, not the bottom line, but really what's so tragic about that is that these people making these arguments, racist suspects and proxy racists, want to ignore the history of black veterans protesting against racism in this country, and the black veterans today, like myself, who stand on the side of justice, therefore on the side of Colin Kaepernick and all the other people out there taking a stand for justice, or in his case, taking a knee for justice. So when you see all the vitriol and the hatred and that kind of stuff directed at nonviolent people, in the propaganda demonizing them, this is what they pushing people to do: commit violent acts. Now, the reason I don't consider what the two black veterans did in Dallas and Baton Rouge as a terrorist attack is because they chose military targets, and the police are the military. They get the same training. Many of them are vets who decided to make a living being slave catchers and prison overseers. But when I don't consider what those two vets did is because they didn't target any civilians, so I don't consider what they did to be acts of cowardice, like what this guy in New York City in New Jersey is alleged to have done. Now, some other questions that I have is, I don't know if he was able to set off these multiple devices by himself. I don't know if that's possible. I also don't know if he was baited into doing this by FBI informant, who these are people, proxies, who seek out disaffected people who are angry about the mistreatment they have received from the system, and they go to work on them and push them to commit violent acts against civilians. So there's a lot that we don't know, but bottom line is, I feel that any attack on civilians is inexcusable, and we have to condemn it, or else we're no different than what U.S. government does in this use of the United States military. These are just facts. Ain't no "I hate America" and all this and that. I'm among the 2% of quote unquote Americans who can actually trace their roots back to colonists during that period, because the vast majority of the estimated 200 million plus quote unquote whites in this country all came here in the 1800s. So when you sit up there talking about your founding fathers, no, your fathers were fleeing a potato famine in Europe, or they were fleeing whatever persecution they were receiving as ethnic minorities or because of their nationality. So they came here, and in order to keep the system of slavery going, they were classified as now white. Everybody's white. So, but you cannot claim any kind of kinship or credit or blood relations to any of the so-called founders, because you what your people wasn't here. They was not here. Black folks in this country have more of a right to say that, because again, one-third of the troops of the Continental Army were free blacks and enslaved Africans with the promise of freedom. Without them, the British was winning. Check the history. I don't lie. I don't engage. I engage in propaganda, but my propaganda is based in truth. It's truth propaganda. So, I mean, again, people, that's why it is. And other people, I've heard other hosts on this platform say it. Reading is more important than watching television or watching movies about history, because they lie. And not reading the government issue textbooks, but the independently authored and researched books that many scholars have been putting out for decades, for centuries indeed. Information's there, you just got to find it. So lots of questions to have, but I find it interesting that the family appears to be victims of racism and religious intolerance. And we know that some of that was state-sponsored from news. We can use the corporate news reports as a source of the spying that the NYPD was doing and targeting Muslim families in New Jersey. Y'all just don't understand how extensive the network of slave catchers under the direction of the NYPD is. They got an office in some kind of exchange program in Israel. Got office in Louisiana. They be going all, I mean, I'm like, man, who do these people think they are? They don't obey any kind of laws. So reading again is very, very important. So my condolences to the victims. Thankfully, there were no one killed. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? Increase your bombings of Afghanistan, because this man, like Omar Mateen, are Afghani Americans. Again, they weren't born in America. Now, that information might change on this Rahimi guy, but Omar Mateen wasn't in Afghanistan. He wasn't born there. He's American. But he identifies with the people who look like him and share the same culture as him. It doesn't matter where you're born on the planet, when you identify with a culture of your parents, of your grandparents, of your ancestors. And so Omar Mateen expressed he couldn't stand to see all of these Afghanis getting killed by American bombs and bullets in Afghanistan. Which the outcome of that invasion of Afghanistan has been a flood of cheap heroin on the streets of America that is causing a whole lot of white people to overdose, quite frankly, trying to manage their pain and the issues they have. After being hooked on the prescribed drugs by doctors. So, yeah, that's the result of that. How all them drugs making it from Afghanistan to here? It's like it's a direct pipeline. It's like they're flying it on military jets or something. Somebody smuggled. I wonder who. We know Mitch McConnell's family, they own ships, and they got busted with a load of cocaine, tons of cocaine, on one of their ships in Colombia. I lie to you not. Everything's documented that I try to discuss with you. So, but that is today's program. Again, condolences to the victims. This kind of Retaliation on civilians is not encouraged. It should not encourage. They have to condemn that. Have to condemn it. Don't be like the very thing that you are protesting. And all the Colin Kaepernick and other people who are acting, telling black people to be good slaves and be obedient and be loyal slaves and submit to the national anthem and this flag ritual, because that's all it is a ritual. Y'all need to lighten up, don't you think? Because what do you prefer? This guy could have easily have targeted it. Tailgating parties outside that stadium, couldn't he? If everything that's being reported is true. So when you go inside that stadium and you see athletes nonviolently protesting an issue in this country, you should be thankful that they are spreading the nonviolent approach. Be careful what you ask for. I'll be back on air tomorrow. Going to try to work in an interview with author, writer, activist LaRon Barton. He's been a guest on the program before. He just came out with a new piece and wanted to discuss some things with the listening audience, or share some things with the listening audience pertaining to prison slavery, as he's tried to work in helping people, you know, in these reentry programs and what have you. And so he published an article, and it was a very interesting read, very educational piece. And so we hope to speak with him tomorrow. So I'll be back behind this mic, God willing. Till then, y'all be safe out there. Be on high alert. Slavery is being practiced. It is a war zone out there. And you don't want to be an innocent bystander. You don't want to become an easy casualty. Just keep that head on a swivel, as they say. And even then, you know, bad things can happen, but just make sure you do the little things, the logical things, to preserve your life. But never stop standing up for justice. Justice by any means necessary. We can't have change without plowing up the ground. We can't have crops. It don't work that way. You gotta make some noise. Gotta have that thunder, as Frederick Douglass was saying. So never walk in fear, always stand up. Peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe out there. And just remember, change is only gonna come by individual collective acts. Peace.